I absolutely love that, your opening quote, and let us not grow weary of doing good. Isn't that what our world needs today? Every day, things seem to get worse. But if we, this small contingent of people, in whatever communities we're in, if we are about not growing weary of doing good, that's the message. That's the hope that we as Christians can convey to our world. So you're familiar now with these little cards. We do them every year, and I'm just going to point out a couple things. But I want to start first with the Neighborhood Depot. This is the new building that we're in. We're going to be having an open house on June 23rd. And in the morning, the dignitaries, all those people who gave money to help make it be, you know how that is. Well, in the afternoon, all the common folks, all of us, can come. So 1 o'clock on, if you're available, come on by. And we'll tour you, and you get to enjoy some of what our community has brought forward. It's warm, it's inviting, and it's colorful. And every time I walk into the food pantry, I love it. I'm just joyful because it's what I picked the colors, so you know. in that building is United Way, also Racker. Many people don't know Racker. Racker's in three counties. It's in housed in Tompkins County, Cortland County, and Tioga County. In Tioga County, everybody calls it the old Washington Gladden School. Well, they have classes there for many of their members. And they have a lot of houses in our community, and they work with people who are developmentally challenged. So all in these houses are people who have graduated to living on their own with some oversight. So I keep telling them they've got to send the message out because so many people don't know. But they've got close to 100 employees working here in Tioga County. So we're all in the building now. Cooperative Extension, Tioga United Way, Racker, and Tioga County Rural Ministry. Racker has the largest footprint, and when we have the second largest. And Racker needed a great big room where they could house, have training for up to 100 volunteers at one time. So we have this great big room, and it's got all the, big screen here, big screen there, big screen there, and really nice space. That space will also double should we have fire, should we have another devastating flood like we had in 2011. We will be able to house up to 125 people there. The emergency people would bring in, emergency services would bring in beds and food, et cetera. Our land, the land on which it sits, is the largest green space in the village of Owego that is above the 500-year floodplain. The building was built up even higher above the railroad tracks. So we're in a good spot. It was in 2011 one of the only spaces in the village that was not affected by the flood. So that's the building. Now to the yellow cards. Just a couple things here. I wanted to let you know that in your community, if there are people who need to come to the food pantry, everyone is welcome in the entire community. If they also go to Helping Hands, that's fine. But if people need food, we want people to come. So they can come as often as they have need. So if you know people, please advertise. Please tell them. If they're afraid to come, come along. Send someone with them. We've had people do that because, you know, we have people who walk in and it's kind of like deer in the headlights. I've never done this before. And so send a friend. Come together. And we love having people come. Ramps, anyone again in this area who needs a ramp, call us up. Back to school shopping is coming up. If anyone, we haven't put out literature about that yet, but if you have teens who are going back to school, it's only teens, up to 18. Some of our 18-year-olds are even going into college, and we've helped them as well. So give a call. If you know anyone who could use that help, it's $200. We give that to each of the families. They come to our ministry site, and then one of our volunteer drivers takes them and their parent or guardian to the store of their choice. And they use that $200. If they have extra, that comes back to us. If they spend over the $200, the excess is on the family. All we ask is a thank you note be written, letting donors know that families and children really appreciate that. So we want people in the county to use the services that are available to them. I'll talk a little bit more about financial assistance in a couple moments. So just looking at the back statistics, you can see that 643 unique households visited the pantry. Now, there are pantries all around our community, but in our pantry, 643 unique families. It grows every year. The increase from 2023 to 2024 was 38% increase, and you'll see from the statistics that those numbers are only growing. Financial assistance, 371 unique families. Children, we send children to Maple Ridge Ranch, and it's not too late. It's close to being too late. But if you have, if there are some 7 to 17-year-olds are able to go to Maple Ridge Ranch. The cost is $695 for a week. It keeps going up each year. But we split that cost with Maple Ridge. They have a scholarship fund. But it's a wonderful week, and every child that we have sent comes back raving about it. So they have an opportunity, kids have an opportunity to be in nature. Many are, on the cell phones all the time, and that's a wonderful device. But socialization is important, and being in nature and cherishing and reveling in nature is also wonderful. So this gives them an opportunity for that. I'm going to move you over to the white sheets. Everybody have a white sheet? So every year, at the end of the year, so we do statistics from the calendar year and then the fiscal year. So when I was doing January 2025, I was looking at the statistics, and I started from 2021 and then went forward looking at where were we in 2021, 2022, 23, 24, 25, and now we're just starting only 4 months into 2025. But you can see, looking at the food pantry visits, in 2023, 113, now we're double that and more. And that continues. We initially were having the pantry open only once a month. Then we moved it to twice a month. Then as fuel got higher, as grocery bills got higher, we said, come whenever you need to come. We don't want to be sitting there with food when people are going hungry. So we find that people do not abuse that privilege. You know, some people might think, oh, it's the same old people coming every time. No, it's not. And even the same old, they still do not abuse it. They'll come in and people will come in and say, no, I still got some peanut butter. No, I've got some of this. Save that for someone else who needs it. That's the caliber of the people who come to us all the time. Financial assistance is what's incredibly interesting. So there you see 2021 through 2025, as much as we're into 2025. But look at where it says NA. One of our board members at one point said, so we look at these statistics, how many came in for financial assistance each month, how many were full-time employed, how many part-time employed, how many disabled, how many seniors, how many women had single women head of household. Those are our regular statistics every month. But I have to say that I was stunned, even though I pour over these numbers every month, when I look at the FT, full-time employed, in 2021, go down to 2024. In the past, while we were doing these statistics, I've been around I'm into my 13th year. The bulk of the people coming in were part-time employed people. We were always citing the part-time employed people because so many, what you hear out in the news, it's those people. If only they'd get away from their television sets. You know, all the really bad talk that is out there and is in the news. Or the double dippers, or, you know, it's all that kind of derogatory language. And for me to look at that and see, now the part-time employed are the smaller numbers. We had some full-time employed people way back, you know, 10, 12 years ago, but never anywhere near to what we're seeing now. The most we ever had in all my time here was 76 full-time employed people asking for financial assistance. Now, the majority are full-time employed people. Those numbers are startling. So one of our board members said, well, why is that? Is there any common denominator? So Galen, who's our outreach services coordinator, looked through everything, and it's low wages. Now, you would have thought many years ago, $15 an hour was a really good wage. No more is that a good wage. You cannot make it. And we have a lot of people who are working full-time, and they're getting that lower wage. And then we have people coming in from Pennsylvania who work in Pennsylvania where the minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. Imagine trying to live on that. You can't. You just can't. So when we get people coming from Pennsylvania who are working in Pennsylvania, we'll say to them, we had, for example, one woman who was a RN working full-time at Guthrie. And when Lourdes and Guthrie were coming together in Binghamton, she said, I was waiting for that because now I can get $50 an hour. So if the minimum wage, if you're, that minimum wage base affects everybody going up the ladder, because of course you'd think an RN is making much more, probably is. I didn't ask her what she was making. The following week, we had an LPN working at Guthrie in Sayre who was making $8.25 an hour. Galen said to that person, you need to come to New York. If you go to Riverview, you can make $25 an hour there for LPNs. So it's that kind of thing that you need to look. What are the opportunities that might be elsewhere? Sometimes we've been in the same place for the same time for a long time, and you just can't make it, no matter how hard you try, because that base wage is lower than allows you to make a living wage. So those statistics, I think, are incredibly alarming. And whenever I have a politician come my way, and on the phone as well, I recite these numbers to them because they need to hear it. So flipping over to the second sheet, again, this is financial assistance, but you can see we do a lot of financial assistance. So this is just month by month. So these are the statistics that we look at every month. And they're not all the statistics because we don't have the disabled and the other statistics, but just to look at the number of new families. So new means they have never requested financial assistance before. The numbers keep creeping up. 42 families used to be our all-time high. And then you see last month, now our all-time high, 49. So that's a lot of people meeting with Galen during the course of a month. It's a lot of people. But look at how many are new. 28 out of the 49 are new. 30 out of the 49 are full-time employed. 3 part-time employed. So those small numbers are in the part-time employed. So when people say there's a lot of jobs out there and all, why don't those people do? Those people are full-time employed people. And if they can work in a part-time environment, then they're doing whatever they can. So these are statistics that I say to my board members, these are the kind of statistics that you share with your friends. You know, you might just be chatting with people, but to give them a sense of what is real in our world. And the Soap for Hope things that you are bringing, the financial assistance, all of that is going to help our friends and neighbors. I tell people often when we're able to help and I'm chatting with them, I'll say, do you know how we're able to help with that problem? Most people are asking for funds for rent, utilities, or car repair. And if you think about it, your car breaks down, you need a new alternator, you need a new whatever. If it's a choice between rent and work, getting that car going that brings you to work, you're going to go with that. So then you fall behind on the rent or the mortgage or whatever. Or you have a health problem. You get a new knee. Well, you get short-term disability, but that's not going to help you. I mean, you need more than short-term disability unless you've got a cushion saved. It's hard to make that go. Utility bills are up. I don't know if anybody in this area, do you get NYSEG in this area? As of May 1st, a 40% increase is coming our way. We just had a class for, I said, we got to do something because of those 49 people who came for financial assistance last month, 20 were utility bills. We are now at $20,000 over our budget for utility bills for the year. So I said, we got to do something to help people, to have people help themselves. What are some ways that we can save? So we had a workshop with the NYSEG people last week, and they came up with a lot of good suggestions for people. But that's the world that we're facing and the needs that our families are facing. So, you know, when I tell people that why we're able to help, it's because you happen to live in a community where your friends and neighbors care about you. And what a blessing that is. It's a blessing for me. It's a blessing for us every day that we serve. So thank you, thank you, thank you for all the ways that you assist. And we're very, very grateful for the Soap for Hope items because those are the first things that people come in. It's toilet paper. It's laundry detergent. It's shampoo. Those are dish soap. Those are the top four. But all of those items are a tremendous help for the people that we serve. So thank you very much. Appreciate it. Any questions before I get away from this? Yeah, I figured that. What's the date of the